This is from the old school, new school.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Current Issues. I'm your host, Hisham Tilawi. Today we're going to have a special guest, an old friend of mine that I haven't seen or talked to in a few years now. My guest today will be Dr. Mazen Kamsiyeh. He will be joining us from Palestine. And basically, you know, I tried to get Mazen last week when Obama was actually visiting there, but due to my message did not get to him on time, so we could not have him. But he is with us actually now. We're going to talk to Mazen about the trip, the significance of Obama trip, and also it is Easter, so we will talk to him about Easter in the Holy Land. Dr. Mazen, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Hisham, on your show.
Thank you. Thank you. It's my pleasure. I guess first things first, happy Easter to you and your family and to everyone in Palestine. Tell us about Easter in Palestine this year.
Well, I am here in Bethlehem. You know, Jerusalem is only 4 or 5 miles away. And the Church of the Sepulchre, where our Christian tradition holds that Jesus was crucified and buried in that area of the church in Jerusalem. This is the place that I wish I could have visited on this Easter. Unfortunately, even though it's 4 or 5 miles away, I am not allowed to enter Jerusalem, like most Palestinians, Christians and Muslims. We're not allowed into our city. Of course, there's still the celebrations, the colored eggs, and all this usual stuff that goes with Easter. But it's a happiness that's tinged with this sadness that is due to the occupation, colonization of our land. So we, as Palestinian Christians in this community, in the basically the first Christians, Jesus was born, of course, here and was raised here and preached to our ancestors, and that's why some of us are Christian, and later, of course, some people became Muslim. But we are the original Christians. From here, Christianity spread to the rest of the world. And yet, of course, this is the Holy Land, the land of peace. Has not seen peace for a long time, for decades, because of an onslaught of an idea that this has to become a Jewish state, and it's not going to continue to be a multi-ethnic, multi-religious, multicultural society, but has to become a Jewish state. This is our problem, and it continues to be. And so that's where we live.
Dr. Kamsiyeh, I read a report a couple of days ago that says that in Jerusalem there is about 10,000 or less than 10,000 Christians. We have to take a quick break here, but we're going to talk about the numbers when we come back. We'll be right back.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Current Issues, the radio show, coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our phone number is 800-313-9443 if you would like to join in. And we're talking to Dr. Mazen Kamsiyeh from Bethlehem. And Mazen, I asked you about a report that said there are about 10,000 or less Christians left in Jerusalem. Is that report, are the numbers right, or what can you tell us about it?
Yes, indeed. The number of Christians and Muslims in Jerusalem have been under significant pressure as Israel tries to make Jerusalem a Jewish city. This is very unusual in world history that people try to change the character of one of the holiest cities on earth to make it more monolithic, basically. So a denial of residency has been happening at increasing rates in the last few years. Basically, people who are Jerusalemites, born and raised in Jerusalem, being denied the right to live there and being pushed out. And I must emphasize, you know, Jerusalem still has more churches than there are mosques and synagogues put together. This is a city that used to have a lot of Christians, and slowly over the last few decades under Israeli rule, the city has been stripped of its native population to bring in Jews from around the world to settle in it and make it a so-called Jewish city. I don't know why cities become Jewish or become Christian or Muslim for that matter. A city is a city. It should be a city of its residents, not necessarily changed in such a fashion.
Well,
so I think, yeah.
Let me ask you, as a Christian, what is the significance of Jerusalem for Christians?
Well, of course, you know, Jesus was born here. He preached in Jerusalem. He was born in my town of Bethlehem, where I was born and raised. And he preached in Jerusalem and preached in the Holy Land. Jerusalem is the center of the Holy Land. It's the center of Palestinian Christianity. It's our capital. It's where economic life is. It's where most of our churches are. It's most of our community used to live.
So how do you explain the president's comment when he was visiting the Holy Land last week? Last Sunday he was actually there. How do you respond to him when he says that this is Jewish land, which basically takes out the Palestinians, the Christians, and the Muslims? How would you respond to that?
Well, it's kind of sad because when Obama came to power in the United States, we all had hopes that there would be indeed a change in U.S. foreign policy from this absolute blank check for Israel. You know, as you know, the U.S. gives the largest foreign aid to Israel of all other countries. In fact, 35% of U.S. Foreign aid goes to the State of Israel. And so we had hoped that indeed he would be the president of change. He had also given a speech in Cairo in which he said, yes, we want to be friends with the Arabs and Muslims and Christians in this land, and we want to be, good people together, and we don't have to have wars and all of this stuff. So people bought this language. I mean, many people did buy it. And here we are, more than 4 years later, and what we see is that President Obama has actually been, even more aggressive than his previous president and the U.S. President before him in supporting the State of Israel and giving Israel weapons and technologies and money and resources and vetoing U.N. Security Council resolutions that would hold Israel accountable to international law. So what we saw from President Obama is basically more of the same failed policies of support for occupation and colonialism.
So how do you explain, Mazen, the silence within the Christian community and especially in the United States, since most people in the United States consider themselves as Christians? How do you explain the silence on what Obama has done when he very much gave them Jerusalem as an internal capital and as a Jewish land? How do you explain this?
Well, there are some stirrings within the churches in the West. We saw this especially after we Palestinian Christians issued a document called Kairos Palestine. Kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S, if people want to look it up, Kairos Palestine. It's modeled after the call from the South African churches during the time of apartheid, where they called and they said to the Christian churches around the world, why are you silent about this apartheid? Just because we are blacks and there are whites that are ruling us, you churches in the world should not be silent. And so there was a challenge to the church communities around the world to speak up against apartheid in South Africa. And it did work, and slowly, I mean, it took a long time, but slowly the churches in the West started moving in the direction of opposing South African apartheid. And here we see a similar trend. In 2009, we Palestinian Christians issued a Kairos document, and we called on the churches around the world to stand up for what's right and to do what Jesus would do in such situations of injustice, massive displacement, ethnic cleansing, torture, political prisoners being held without trial for months and sometimes years. And so we challenged the church community to stand up and say what is right. The response has been slow, but it's coming, and we are encouraged by the response. I mean, if people Google the Kairos Palestine, they will see there are now tens of thousands of websites that mention it, including websites of mainstream churches, Catholic churches, Greek Orthodox, Baptist, even Lutheran, etc., that are speaking out against basically what's happening here in Palestine.
So what is it?
Unfortunately,
it's called the Cairo
the politicians. Sorry?
It's called the Cairo Initiative?
Kairos. K-A-I-R-O-S.
K-A-I-R-O-S. Okay.
And you see, the politicians generally do not necessarily listen to churches or their public unless there's a very loud voice against what they are doing. We saw that with the civil rights movement. The churches were slow to pick it up, but then once they picked it up and started speaking out, then the governments were forced to listen to what the churches wanted.
Okay. Now, Mazen, there is a growing movement in the United States within the Christian faith. This thing about that we have to take care of Israel because God wants us to take care of Israel. But that was not, I mean, this is something new in the last 20, 30 years. And especially in the last 15 years, which is, you know, like the Christian Zionist or the Christian right, you know, like that, the John Hagee type, etc. And now that movement, now when you were in the United States, it was mainly among the John Hagee type. But in the last few years, we're seeing this movement of we're ordered by God as Christians to defend Israel and to take care of Israel. Can you tell us where are the bases of this in Christianity, if there are any bases, for Christians supposed to defend the state of Israel?
No, there is no basis in Christianity. And when you say terms like Christian Zionism, for us Palestinian Christians of various denominations, by the way, Catholic, Greek Orthodox, Protestant, etc., the term Christian Zionism for us is an oxymoron. You cannot be a Christian and a Zionist at the same time. It's totally against the teachings of Jesus. We believe Jesus came to redeem this earth and came to preach a message of love and justice and human rights. And he had worked among the poorest of the poor communities here in Palestine, among people even suffering from leprosy and from severe malnutrition and so on. This is the Jesus that we know. This is the teacher that taught us that war and conflict are not part of Christianity. And yet these so-called Christian Zionists, they self-describe as Christian Zionists, but as I said, I do not accept the terminology. These are people who are profiteers, who are interested and basically getting their own pockets lined up in rich churches and without interest in what the poor of this earth are feeling or suffering under, including their fellow Christians in Palestine. This, to me, is a total misrepresentation of the theology of Christianity. And we Palestinian Christians have actually analyzed this. And the documents on the website, people can go to ChristianZionism.org and see the arguments that we present to basically nullify or show that this is basically has no basis in Christianity, either in the New Testament and certain in the Old Testament, and certainly not in the New Testament.
Okay. Mazen, we're going to be taking a break here very quick, and we're going to call you back because the call started to have some interruptions. So they're going to call you back, and hopefully we will get a better signal when we come back from the break. We'll be right back. Sleep at night. Whether you're a brother or wherever you're.
many years, coffee lovers have learned that for the freshest coffee, you need to roast your own beans. Unfortunately, that usually meant paying more per pound for coffee than you could get it at the local grocery. Those wanting to store rich coffee for long-term use have been frustrated with the lack of quality coffee available with a long shelf life. So we usually settle for brand name coffee, either ground or instant. But now we have another solution. Canned green coffee beans. Green coffee beans have not been roasted. And since the bean is not cracked yet, the shelf life is many years longer than roasted or ground coffee. Due to the way it's packed, you can expect these to stay fresh for 20 plus years. Go to campingsurvival.com to order your canned green coffee beans. A single can is only $11.94. Order online today at campingsurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. Campingsurvival.com. Campingsurvival.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Current Issues, the radio show, coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our website is www.republicbroadcasting.org, and our phone number is 800-313-9443. Mazen, the president visited Ramallah, and then he visited Bethlehem. The first time he visited Ramallah, he flew his helicopter, and I'm sure he flew over all the settlements that are spreading out in the West Bank. And the second day, I guess by divine intervention, he could not fly his helicopter to Bethlehem because of the sandstorm that you all had that day. So he drove, and he drove through the wall, which Palestinians, the lucky ones with permits, are able to actually visit the city or get out of the city. Now, I was expecting President Obama to actually, once he experienced that, you know, to play a Reagan and say, "Mr. President, tear down that wall." Of course, you know, that wasn't going to happen. But now he did say that the Palestinians deserve a state of their own, which is in its own, I guess, merit, the people of the land to say that they deserve a state of its own, while foreigners who came to that land have a state. And but the state that Obama actually is talking about, which is It's a viable Palestinian state, contiguous. It's impossible to happen, isn't it? Because, you know, all these settlements and all the walls and the roads, tell us about the possibility of, even if Israel says, okay, today we are going to sign peace and have a Palestinian state established. Do you think it would be a viable state?
Well, let me just first say that Obama came to Bethlehem for a total of 20 minutes. And during that time, the Palestinian Authority made sure that he did not see really Palestinians in the streets. They cleared the streets. They cleared the areas around the Church of Nativity. They prevented the common Palestinians from being in their own city. So that Mr. Obama thinks that it's basically like many tourists, unfortunately, in this country, they think of it as a dead place. That there's
why did they do that, Mazen? What's the purpose?
Well, because that's what they were told by the Israeli and American security personnel. We don't want Palestinians around, and the idea is because they knew that. The average common Palestinian does not welcome a United States president who comes here supporting colonialism and supporting occupation. Most of us resented this visit that had, by the way, other motives other than this issue of coming to just make a few speeches. It had to do with regional politics. It had to do with Syria and Iran. And,
tell us about that. Tell us in detail
okay.
What you're talking about.
Basically, the public image that the Obama administration was giving is that he's visiting the Holy Land. He's visiting Israel, supposedly, and the West Bank, Ramallah, and Bethlehem for 20 minutes. And then he is going to go to Jordan. He's meeting with the leaders of the Middle East, what he considers the leaders of the Middle East, being Israeli leaders and the Jordanian king, and then our puppet government in Ramallah that's basically doing whatever the Israeli and American masters wanted to do, and then saying, okay, I'm coming here to encourage people to bring peace. This is the public image that they wanted to present. The real work was done behind the scenes, and it became obvious when Obama on his last day managed to get the Turkish and Israeli relations back on track so that they can surround Syria and they can push Syria and change Syria the way they changed Libya with NATO forces coming in, toppling the Libyan government and instilling basically Western, pro-Western puppets in Libya that serve the American and Israeli interests. That's what they plan to do in Syria and eventually in Iran. And so this is the real agenda. The real agenda was to strengthen the American-Israeli position vis-a-vis the Syria-Iran-Russia axis, if you want. We, the Palestinians, were just simply window dressing, if you want, on this visit to say, okay, I came and I can visit Ramallah and say hello to President Mahmoud Abbas. But really there was no substance to this visit, neither in Ramallah or the 20 minutes he went to Bethlehem. What did he do in Bethlehem? Just visited the Church of Nativity, acted as a tourist for the cameras, for the journalists, to show President of the United States in the Church of Nativity. So that's really the essence of a public image versus the reality of behind the scenes diplomacy and what's happening behind the scenes.
Okay. Now he talked about the two-state solution. Do you think that two-state? Well, I tell you what. I hear the music. We're going to take a break. But when we come back from the break, I want you to tell us if two-state solution is actually a viable option. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. You're listening to Current Issues, the radio show. Mazen, very quickly, and we're going to go to the phones. The two-state solution, is that really a viable issue right now? Can it ever happen? And if it does happen, will it work?
Well, when you brought up the two-state issues before the break, and you mentioned that Obama was stated his support for two states,
right?
He actually contradicted himself, because in one part he says he recognizes the Jewish rights to the land and the Jewish history and the Jewish land and all of this, obviously mythological issues that he speaks about. That this is if he supports that, if he believes in that, if he believes that Jews have a right to this land, European Jews, American Jews, Russian Jews have a right to this land, then how is he square that with the rights of Palestinians to a state in the West Bank and Gaza? Obviously, this doesn't work. You know, you either believe that the native Palestinians have rights, or you believe that Jews from around the world have a right to this land. You cannot have it both ways. So he contradicted himself, certainly, and the overwhelming amount of speeches that he gave was in supportive of the colonial settler idea. For example, he said, well, settlements are there, and we support, we don't want Israel to stop settlement activities before negotiations start and things like that. So in many ways he contradicted this notion. And most importantly, he contradicts international law. International law is very clear that Israel is an occupying power and they have no right to settle in the land of Palestine. It's as simple as that. All of these settlements are actually illegal per international law. Obama did not mention one word about the illegality of the settlements. So he doesn't really make sense on the issue of one state, two states, anything like that. Now, with regards to the viability of a two-state solution now, I mean, let's be clear. There are 650,000 Israeli Jewish settlers inside the West Bank. The West Bank and Gaza together are 22% of historic Palestine. The 78% that was occupied in 1948, that's where most of the Palestinian refugees used to live. Palestinian refugees, as you know, were pushed in 1948 outside the country. 530 villages and towns were completely depopulated. The largest ethnic cleansings since the end of World War II, basically. And we remain 12 million Palestinians. 7 million of us are refugees or displaced people. Obama did not mention one thing about refugees. When he went to visit Yad Vashem, for example, this Holocaust museum in Jerusalem, nobody apparently bothered to tell him that just down the hill from Yad Vashem is Deir Yassin, a Palestinian village that's empty. No more Palestinians live there because there was a massacre committed there by the Zionist forces in 1948 and that forced its residents to flee. These are the kinds of things that show that basically the reality here is you can either have human rights or you can have this charade of talking about a two-state solution. There's no intermediary thing. You either get human rights, including the right of refugees to return to their homes and lands, or you keep talking about two states without actually thinking it through what that means for human rights, for justice, or is it an apartheid system?
Okay. Mazen, we're going to go to the phones. We have Werner calling from Canada on line one. Werner, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I think those are all vital questions that have to be addressed in light of all the problems that have been cropping up around the world. And the ones that are set in the agenda, they have to be identified and they have to be held accountable. But as I say, this partition of Palestine and now what the Palestinians and people have left from their original territories between, I understand, between 8% and 9%. You know, they're basically pushed together in small reservations, and that system works so well. The template works so well here in North America with the native people.
Okay.
And then about this calling them settlers. If you occupy somebody else's property, you are not a settler. You are a squatter.
What do you think about that, Mazen?
The term I like to use is colonial settler because they are engaging in colonialism, not settling unoccupied or uninhabited areas. The term they like to use for themselves, ironically, is the same as the terms that the whites in South Africa used in settling South Africa or in North America. The term they like to use is pioneers, that somehow they are pioneering or discovering new territories. As early Zionists used to say, a land without a people for a people without a land. Obviously, both sides of this equation are mythological, since Palestine was very heavily populated, and that Jews around the world certainly have their lands in those countries that they come from. European Jews belong in Europe, Ethiopian Jews belong in Ethiopia.
Yeah.
In 1933, the National Socialists, they initiated a peaceful patriation of Jewish people to Palestine, but it was negotiated, what I understood, with the Palestinian authorities.
Okay. Where,
yeah, if I may correct this a little bit, I've studied this history. It's very fascinating. People need to be aware that the Nazis actually had an agreement with the Zionists called the Transfer Agreement, and that the Zionists helped break the boycott of Nazi Germany, and that the Zionists themselves are the ones who lobbied the American government and Congress not to open the doors for Jewish Europeans to come to America, because they wanted to leave them only one door open, and that is to Palestine. The idea that Zionism was good for the Jews is another myth that history has shown to be just that, a mythology.
Well, learn always something new.
Okay. All right, Werner, thanks. I appreciate the call. We're going to have to move on. Mazen, I asked you this question in a private conversation one time. You are a professor of genetics, and I've asked you, you know, Jews around the world, they think of themselves that genetically they are related, even the ones in Ethiopia and Europe and Palestine, etc., etc. But I believe your answer to me was that we as Palestinians, Muslims and Christians, are actually more genetically in line with the Semitic people who actually roamed the land back then, you know, with Abraham and et cetera, et cetera. Can you tell us briefly about genetically who's really more closer to Abraham? Is it the European Jews or is it the Arabs, Christians and Muslims in Palestine?
Well, first of all, Abraham is a mythological Bible figure. He's not a real person. In my humble opinion, but the Bible has stories about these things, and one should take them with a grain of salt, because Brahma and Sarai were actually, Abraham and Sarah were actually taken from the Indian mythologies about these things and adopted into the monolithic traditions. But in any case, we Palestinians, Christians, Muslims, and there are native Palestinian Jews, by the way, are all descendants of ancient Canaanites who lived in this land for thousands of years. And so genetically we're all related, Palestinian Christian, Palestinian Muslims, and Palestinian Jews. But of course there are European Jews and Ethiopian Jews and Yemeni Jews. Those are more related to the communities around them. So Yemeni Jews are certainly more genetically similar to Yemenites, and Ethiopian Jews are more
genetically similar. Mazen, you are speaking from a position of a professor of genetics here.
Yes, but you don't have to be a geneticist or even a scientist to look at European Jews and visually decide whether they look Europeans or they look Middle Eastern, or that Ethiopian Jews who are black look more like Ethiopians or look more like Middle Eastern populations. You don't have to be a scientist to realize
that. When Obama said last week that he's walking in the footsteps of Abraham, let's not call him Abraham, let's call him the people who lived in Palestine 2,000 years ago, they practically had nothing to do with the Jews who are in Palestine now.
Yes, the European Jews who founded Zionism, by a vast majority, have nothing to do with the ancestral monolithic culture which existed here called the Mosaic tradition. It was not called Judaism 2,000 years ago. It was called the Mosaic Law. And our ancestors, my own ancestors, for example, converted to Christianity when Jesus came. Before that, they probably either believed in these religions of Moses and Abraham, the Mosaic laws, or they were pagan and they converted to Christianity. And when Islam came, many of my distant relatives also converted to Islam. So people convert to religions, and Judaism is not unusual in that sense. So Judaism also had large numbers of converts in North Africa and in Europe. The Khazar Empire, for example, was an empire that converted in totality to Judaism in Europe in the 9th century A.D., after Jesus.
Okay. Dr. Mazen, we're going to go to Amman, Jordan. Actually, we have Luma Salah, who is also the the president of the Jerusalem chapter in Jordan, and Shiddu Rihal Luma. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dr. Hisham, and thank you, Dr. Mazen, for this amazing interview that you're having together. I'd just like to say happy Easter for all of you over here. And my question to you, Dr. Mazen, for those circumstances and hard circumstances that our country, our people are going through, what is the message as a Palestinian and Christian you would like to deliver to our youth all over the world?
Thank you very much. This is very important. I think whether Palestinian youth or American youth or Canadian youth, all youth around the world, they should realize that the system as it exists is unsustainable. The system that makes the rich richer and the poor poorer is not sustainable, and that the enemy for us is the same. The enemy is greed. The enemy is these corporate lords, basically, who are billionaires, who are becoming richer and richer, and that the poor people are becoming poorer and poorer. In Israel, for example, the so-called State of Israel, that built this wall on our land in the West Bank, the apartheid wall, that cost the State of Israel $8 billion, most of it taken from American taxpayers. Israel has 25% of its children living below the poverty line. So I think the young people need to realize, with global warming and with the environmental catastrophe that awaits us, that we can no longer afford to take human natural resources and others on this earth and let them be basically toys in the hands of the wealthy, powerful, and that we, the people, do have power. We can change. We showed that in history, in the U.S. even, with the civil rights, with the right of women to vote, with ending the war in Vietnam, with ending U.S. support for apartheid South Africa. All change in society happens when enough people like you and I, Mae, can work on it and make these changes. And the young people today are so powerful beyond any previous generation in history because of the internet, because nobody could control the internet, the social networking. They could mobilize thousands, millions of people very quickly and change their societies, as we saw, for example, with the young people in Egypt that toppled the dictator that ruled them for 30 years. So I think the struggle continues, but I think people around the world need to understand that all our struggles are connected. It's not that this is a struggle for the Palestinians, or this is a struggle for the Americans or for the Canadians. It's a connected struggle.
Very good. Let's go to Luma, stay with us. But let me go to the phones again with Byron, calling from Canada on line two. Byron, welcome to the program.
Yes. Good. Great show. I just like to say, tell your guests, when somebody comes on somebody else's property, most of the time they came with guns, kicked you out of your home, and took your land and your home away. That's called a thief. So that's what these Jews are called. That's what they should be called. Not settlers, not anything. They're just nothing but a bunch of bloody, bloodthirsty thieves, okay? That's number one. So let's not give them calling them settlers, that sort of dignifies what they... what they want to perceive in the world, for the world to perceive what they are. They're not, they're just thieves.
People think when you say settlers, they think of the Oklahoma settlements or the pioneers.
So that's the first point I want to make. You know, call them by what they are. Don't beat around the bush. They're nothing but filthy, dirty thieves. That's all Jews are. And you can say, oh, there's some good Jews, but if they are... They're so small in numbers, they don't matter anyway.
Well, you know what? I want to ask Byron, if because we don't have a lot of time left here, I want to give Mazen a chance because Mazen, I don't think he agrees with you that Jews, that's what they are, they're thieves. What do you think about that, Mazen?
Yeah, I was actually arrested with some Israeli Jews and American Jews as we stood in front of bulldozers. Israeli bulldozers that are uprooting trees in Palestinian land. So I certainly do not agree that it's the Jews or Jews. It's no more than I agree there is such a thing as the Muslims or they're Christians. There are good Muslims and bad Muslims, good Christians, bad Christians. We remember the Crusaders who came also claiming they represent Christianity and butchered Muslims and Jews and also butchered my own ancestors, Christians who happened to be of the wrong type of Christianity, you know, Eastern Christianity versus Western Christianity. So there are people who use religions, so I don't think it has to do with the Jewish religion or the Muslim religion or anything like that. It has to do with the greedy thieves. I agree they are thieves, but I think they are Zionist thieves, not Jewish thieves.
Very good. Byron, appreciate the call. We are coming up on a break here, and we have a few minutes left in the program to wrap up. So when we come back, me, Luma, and Mazen will wrap this thing up. We'll be right back.
Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your home. Zero Debt Guaranteed can help. We'll send you a free ebook just for calling 800-477-9256 or go to zerodebtguaranteed.com. Get the details on how to remove your risk to your debt. And so important to many homeowners today, how to stop foreclosure.
Forget loan modification.
The Zero Debt in 90 Days system can show you how to get the bank to pay your property taxes and insurance while stopping your foreclosure.
Without paying one dime.
You can take control. Stop foreclosure. Protect your cash, assets, wages, property, and sleep peacefully at night.
We've been helping people for over 18 years.
Call Zero Debt Guaranteed, 800-477-9256. Ask for free information, no obligation. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com now.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have a few minutes left with Professor Mazen Khamsiyya, and I do believe Luma is ready with a final question for Mazen. Luma, go ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Hisham, for this honor. Dr. Mazen, as the Hollis Kepler Sepulchre Church recently suffered from being closed because the people or the ones who are in charge there did not pay the money they should pay for the Israeli government. So as those cases that you face every day, every second, actually, what is the responsibility for the international Christian community toward those places?
Yeah, let me just adjust what you just said briefly. I mean, the idea was that Israel came to this area, occupied it illegally, took over our water resources, and now sells our water back to us, basically, for a price. This is also a form of theft, by the way, in which they take our natural resources and sell it back to us. The West Bank makes to Israel over $12 billion a year from natural resources and other things. And in this case, the Israeli government wants to sell water to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is a church that Jesus is believed to have been crucified and buried in. This is so unusual in history. In fact, this church, which existed for over 1,400 years now, has never paid water for any previous government here, not the Jordanian government, not the Palestinians, not the British when they were here, not the Ottoman Empire, not anyone, Egyptians or anybody who ruled this area. The church had to pay for their own water, which is our own water, Palestinian water. So Israel wants the churches to pay for their own water, exorbitant prices, I might say. So obviously this is a problem when they shut off the water to the church and when they do these kinds of things. But this is, as you pointed out, is part of a series of things that they do against Christians in the Holy Land, stripping us of our land, of our olive trees, of our natural resources, and pushing us outside of Jerusalem, pushing us to leave the country.
Mazen, we only have a few seconds actually left, but I want to know, what are you working on now? What is your the project that you're working on now?
Well, we have a number of projects. I just finished a strategy paper for Palestinians going forward for the Palestine Strategy Group, and we're working on boycott, divestment, and sanctions, which I encourage your listeners to get involved in. Website is bdsmovement.net, and we are working on nonviolent resistance in various places and helping farmers stay on their land. And we encourage everybody to come and visit us and see for themselves.
Okay. What about the project a couple of years back where you were calling people to actually come and visit Palestine? Is that project still on?
Yeah, I mean, I have a big house. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome anybody wants to come and visit. We would love to show you around, because we think, as I discovered visiting the rest of the world, that no amount of words or images or video will substitute for a visit on the ground, seeing for yourself.
Very good. Professor Mazen Kamsiyeh, thank you very much, my friend, for coming on the program today. It has been a real honor and a pleasure having you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, like we always say, and thank you, Luma, and as we always say, go do the right thing. Good night. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.